You're connected to CMN Network.
This is KFA EDQ. Good morning.
Connected to CMN Network.
KDRVQ.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brett. How's it going?
Network.
Oh, just came downstairs here to start my day. Kind of fell asleep at like 11, so kind of got up a little early here.
Patty's listening. She said, Fred's up this early?
Yeah, I know. Just, I'm awake. Came downstairs, grabbed a piece of cheese and my white drink. So, Michelle doesn't go into one, so I'll wait till she gets up. She'll make breakfast, and so I didn't have to microwave a burrito. Yeah, I'm awake.
Yeah, I think pretty soon here I'm going to have to start making the commute into the office again. Within the next couple months, I got to find out if I got to go in 5 days a week or 4 days a week or what. But we're returning to the office. Yippee.
You kind of thought that would happen, I thought, when we last talked. They were making sure people had door cards for sites and things like that.
Yeah, it's kind of for a interesting reason. Only time I support the Flint location is if Craig's on vacation. I cover the site if they have problems. I go in. Yeah, I go in occasionally just to see the other IT people I work with. But the reason they want us to go back into the office is because they've been doing workforce reduction. And if you work from home, anybody in the world can do your job. But if you're in the office, at least you're in the office. You know, you can support people if needed. It looks better on paper, I guess.
They like to tell you it looks good on paper. Okay, it says I purchased. I'm eating nuts and bolts for the cases, and I just looked in my tub and I'm like, oh, I only have 4 complete sets left. Better order some more. Well, I couldn't remember what I ordered before, and I searched in my history and it didn't show anything. So when I put M4 nuts in the search, or, you know, in regular search, it says, you purchased this in March. And I'm like, I literally looked for you in my order history, and you came back and said, no, I didn't order you. Sorry. Yeah. We're, pretty much everybody's been back to work for a couple years now, into the offices. In fact, now we're, I put the new time clocks in, and there's only like 4 people that are allowed to use the web kiosk to punch in remotely. Everybody else has to physically now go to the office and go to an office to punch in now. Or, starting the 10th, yeah, Monday. Monday's pay period.
Yeah, I've been able to milk it for a long time. It's been pretty nice. I didn't like it at first, but I like it pretty well now. At least we got the little spark. I can get 40 miles to the gallon and pretty cheap to fill up. My car driving to work right now, especially if I had to go back to driving to Troy or Saginaw or something like that, holy moly. it gets pretty expensive because my car and Patty's car takes premium. The Spark takes regular, so premium's like, I don't know what it is, $6 a gallon right now or more.
I paid $5.59 at Costco last night.
Does your truck take premium?
$89, but Costco doesn't have, we only have regular and premium. So we were at Costco last night. We went to Davisburg and dropped a load of equipment. Went to my parents and dropped stuff off because they're headed up north this morning. Then stopped to the Fenton office and dropped stuff. Then we went to Costco shopping and then Meyer's for grocery shopping. And so yeah, I was at just below three quarters. So I was like, well, let me fill it. And I filled it. $55 later.
Okay, beat RVP. Yep. I remember back that one time I borrowed Harvey's truck to go up north, take the bikes, and up to Talos, stay at Chet's cabin. That was 2008, I think, and gas was like $4.30 back then. It was $100 to fill his truck up. So I know. Better throw KB8RVP in there. Looks like about time for me to punch into.
Nope. So I just I found my screws. Sorry, I can order. Oh, they're only coming in 50 packs now. So I need the nuts come in 300 case, but the M4 12mm thread stainless steel with head caps come in 55 cases. So I need six of those and one of the nuts. One nut.
Yeah, I hate that when you don't remember what you ordered or trying to find the order, and you get doubles, or you're missing it completely. Just need one. That figures.
Well, now I can get the nuts today. I can't get the screws till Saturday, but oh well. I have enough to assemble what needs to go up to Jeff. So I have enough to assemble what I need for Jeff. But yeah, that'll be fine. I do gotta make my hotel reservations today, so I'm going to Greenville next week. So I need some bath. But I need to order this stuff first. Oh, it now says some screws will show up tomorrow. Some screws will show up Saturday. Or it just says tomorrow, May 8th, Saturday, May 9th.
What'd you say you were making the hotel reservations for?
For Greenville. I'm headed there, so I'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come home Monday. And then the week after that, I'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll see how the first weekend goes over there, so... We're moving. We sold our Greenville newspaper office, and they remodeled the whole upstairs of the plant in the mezzanine. The only thing up in the mezzanine used to just, since I started there, was my office and the server room. There's a bunch of other offices up there, but nobody was in them. So we're moving the newspaper over to it. And so the contractors redid, like, the flooring, the ceiling, the walls. Everything got painted. My office got all new flooring, paint. So I'm upgrading the whole network. Replacing the whole network, adding Wi-Fi through the whole place because there's only Wi-Fi in my office, in down by the other main office. New switches, new door control system, new camera system, video intercoms, doorbells, all new phones. So we're replacing all the phones. Then a bunch of the computers are getting replaced for the Windows 11. And then moving servers and from the newspaper server room to our closet to my office, or to the server room there. So yeah, it's, I'm going to be over there for a few days.
Yeah, it sounds like it. A big working detail you'll have. Well, that'll save the company a lot of money, taking two locations down to one. That's what you got to do sometimes. Yeah, my brother took a chance permanently working from home during COVID, and their office was in Lansing, and they moved up to Traverse City, figuring he'd never have to go back. And so far, he hasn't. And I talked to him last weekend. He said there's no plans for everybody to go back into the office right now. So that should be good, because that'd be a pretty good hike from Traverse City to Lansing every day and back. Yeah, we've, you know, thrown the idea around, because it's like, well, we both work from home. We can live anywhere now. Maybe not.
I mean, I'm working from home, but I still go around everywhere. So, yeah, I'm like, between the time it takes to drive there and all that, I'm like, guys, the $140 they spend on, $130 or whatever, $20 or whatever the hotel is. Oh, that's the other problem. The one hotel I usually stay at over there, yeah, they're booked the next 3 weeks. So, the Holiday Inn, well, that's why I gotta go in there. The Holiday Inn in Cedar Springs, which is about a 20-minute drive from the plant, had rooms, so I think that's where I gotta. But the money it costs $20 less a night to go to the Holiday Inn Express with a 20-minute drive. But they have that breakfast with the pancake maker like I had in Hastings. So, I mean, I'm saving the company money there. So, and I worked from home even before the COVID, so that much didn't change. The COVID didn't change me there. So, yes.
KBD RVP. Yep, Patty's been working at home since we lived here. Pretty much, so. Didn't change for her. Like 14 years. Because there was like a 4-year period where she got laid off and was working at the school. So. It's a long time. I was still working in the office during COVID because it was still diplomat, and we had to replace 1,200 laptops. And so there were like three of us working in the office plus security. So that big building that had 1,200 people working in it at one time had like six people total going into the office every day. It's kind of crazy. It was we had one guy building the computers for us, and then there were three of us doing the migrations. And then 2021 here, the custodians, maintenance people in the building, back to the office. I kept waiting, when's everybody coming back to the office? Well, they're not talking about the call center people coming back to the office, just IT right now, for the reason I mentioned.
Kind of faded a little there. I gotta get that receiver fixed at your house. I'm gonna get a little VPN router for it to go in front of it so we can take care of that receiver there at your house. I'll put that in my list here. Well, if I did interesting, they're bringing you back, but they're not the call center? Or are they thinking of delayed, like staggering it to bring the ITD or call center back?
No, I've heard no mention of call center people coming back, just IT. And it's just because if we work from home permanently, our jobs can be moved overseas or something like that. But if we're on site, we're needed. So that's why we're going back to the office. The office in Flint has three pharmacies, an infusion pharmacy and a big, huge conveyor system shipping pharmacy and another pharmacy that's in there. So that's what we'd be supporting if we're in the office. There's people. The old call center area has people that work in the office, but what they did is they took everybody in the whole office that was left and moved them to one area. They might be afraid if they require all the call center people to come back, they might have a big group of people that quit. They probably don't want that.
Well, in that mindset, call center people, I'm surprised they haven't, since they're all working from home, shoved those jobs overseas, because those are easy to shove overseas with a bunch of, foreign people speaking.
That's a whole other thing. People in the United States prefer when somebody calls them or they call in that it's people in the United States, so I think that'll keep the people around, hopefully, because if they're not around, there's nobody for me to support. KB8RD.
And support's overrated. Two days ago, Adobe uses all Indian sales and manage all their stuff. Everything is Indian with Adobe, and I hardly understand that. I mean, I'm pretty good with my Indian accent decoding, but the guy called me Tuesday and was like, "Hello, this is Ian." And I'm like, "I know what you do." As soon as he answered the call, I'm like, "I know," even on my office line, I'm like, "I know who this is." And it was, he's like, "You have two Adobe accounts outside of your domain that are using your Gmail domain, and they have a Creative Cloud, or they have a Adobe Pro license and that, and that's a security issue. You need to have these licenses on your thing." I said, "No, I don't. Those are individual users." I said, "If I move their Adobe, they're paying it for them themselves just using their work email." I'm like, I've told the guy four different times on every renewal, "I don't care about those two people and those two licenses," but every 3-4 months he calls and says, "That's a security issue. You need to move your, we need to move your licenses from their individuals to your group." Well, no, because then you can charge me twice as much for the license once in the big business account, like you do on all my other licenses. So no, but his Indian accent is so thick. Whenever I deal with anybody at Adobe, there is no U.S. support whatsoever. It's all Indian.
Yeah, when I used to do all the Dell support at Diplomat, we were all Dell certified technicians. And if you called before 8 a.m., you got somebody overseas. If you called after 8 a.m., you got somebody in the United States. That was nice. But our server support back when I was at Delphi was all over. Sometimes you could understand them perfectly well, and sometimes it was hard. I had to step outside the server room to find out what they wanted me to do and then go back in the server room to do it because it was so loud in there and it was hard to understand them. That was always fun.
I've never had you call Dell support like that. For fart's sake, move that over there. There we go. I've got 8 IPTVMs here that came in. I'm putting them in each office with a bundle. So I got little short HDMI to, like, 1 foot HDMI to HDMI, 1 foot HDMI to DP, and then there's a USB-C to C and a USB-C to A, and they're color-coded. I'm putting little color-code bands on them, and basically each office will have this, and they can plug it in, and I can, you know, IP KVM into people's machines or and the like, do the Windows 11 upgrades and all that. So I'm unboxing all 8 of them that arrived so that I can load my ISOs on them, put the network settings in them and security settings, and build the cable bundles. And that way I can get these things sent to each of the offices. And, and today I've got five desktops I have to image because they're coming with me next week. And then I got I did one laptop yesterday, and I got 4 more laptops today. So that is what my day is going to consist of, is building these and imaging for 5 desktops and 4 laptops today.
Well, Fred will be a busy guy. I'm just working, and we got a guy coming over today to re-caulk the tub. He installed it, and they have a service. They'll come out after like 8 to 10 years and rip out all the caulk and re-caulk the whole thing for you. It's got the panels. It's got 3 panels, one in the back, one on the side, and one in the front, that are all put up and then caulked. Everything is caulked in. There's a shelf in the corner that's all caulked in, and he'll redo the whole thing. But he's coming out at noon today. He's just working. And we're trying to get a hold of, we called him once. We got to call him back and remind him we need a window replaced, the front window and the middle bedroom. For the middle room of the house in between the master bedroom and the living room, the smoke and moisture built in between the paint. Him come out and replace that window. He did 2 windows in the master bedroom a couple of years ago. We're just replacing them as needed instead of doing them all at one time. It gets kind of pricey.
Yeah, I would think doing them all at once would be a little pricey.
So the receiver at the house, is it working at all?
No, it's going to get change firmware-wise. Excuse me. So now I think what I'll do is I'll make a little router that we'll put in front of it so that it tunnels into the network. Then we can always get in and do the changes or updates to the receiver remotely.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm on high power because I noticed it was kind of noisy. I thought maybe it was because I was parking the Spark right next to the house by the base window where the GPS puck is, and I moved the car, but it didn't seem to make any difference.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
So speaking of your Spark, have you hard parked your Spark lately?
No, but I've seen in the latest videos he changed to a Sonic. They're trying to get into that little spot with the flower pots and the wishing well and the fence. Oh, I can't believe the one they did the other day, they didn't count it. I mean, it was like perfectly in there, but he was on the line. This is going to be costing their company. I haven't looked at the latest one to see if they did it yet, because each day they're taking more percentage off your orders.
Yeah, all 3 tires were in, but one was on the line. And I'm like, really? Come on. Because now, well, yesterday or the day before, it says, Sam's whole side of the, it got trashed. So they gave Sam another $1,000 to rebuild the garden.
Imagine what their budget is, the stuff they go through. They just destroy cars. I don't know, a month or two ago, they were out in their back lot looking for that tool truck. They were going to modify that, and they were showing all these cars that the engines were blown up in. like that Cadillac CT5 Blackwing he's driving, that blue one with the flashing lights on it and everything, security vehicle. I mean, they're just ragging the heck out of that thing. I know it was a salvaged car, but geez, oh, Pete, they're waiting to blow that engine up so that they can rebuild it again.
Frosted Venue.
Well, they got is the live stream still going this morning? I have to look. But they've put they have a live stream on Channel 2 going with the Crown Vic up on jacks. Yep, it's still running. Here we go. Let's see where we at. Yep, it's doing 105 miles an hour. The mileage is at 127,743. It started at 121,000. So basically, they've got fans, water, everything set up. The Crown Vic's on drop on jacks, and it's doing 100 miles an hour, and they keep filling it. Every time they fill the tank up, they put a little blue sticker on the side of it, but it's live streaming the whole thing.
Yeah, I saw them setting it up. He was trying to rock it from the side and from the back, make sure it was stable. Can you imagine if that thing came off in the middle of the night? He said somebody was going to be sleeping in a sleeping bag at night in case it needed to be fueled up. They do some crazy stuff, but, man, the viewership, too. It's an interesting channel. I just can't imagine what their budget is. For all the giveaways and all the mods they do and their tracks and the competition. It's the Crown Vic races. I mean, it's just crazy. And then his helicopter and his airplane and their new house that he's building. I just can't imagine the budget keeping it in the green. KV8RBG.
You know, it's with the content, people. You know, to have the content and the, you know, merch and the business and, you know, all the different streams to help each other to make the content go. You know, he's done a pretty good, he used to be at least a pretty decent job on the, we're all still watching. I subscribed to Freedom Plus for the last, 3 years now?
I remember one of the episodes recently was talking to the guy that actually came up with his name, Cletus. Can't remember if he was a race car driver, but it was on one of the episodes.
So that was from 1323. He actually passed away night before last. Posted a video. He posted something yesterday about it, but he passed away the night before.
Yeah, I've watched his videos before. What the heck happened to him? Anybody say?
The rumor mill is it was, he took his own, life.
I'll tell you, being a dance enthusiast since high school, I've never heard as many ambulance calls for psych evaluations as nowadays. It's just crazy. Some of the doctors say it's people not getting enough nutrition. They're missing a lot of nutrients in their diet. Some of it, they say, is social media. It's just, you used to hear it, but nowadays it's like a daily thing, multiple times a day sometimes.
Yeah, I guess you never know what's going on in somebody's head sometimes, but he had a TBI from an accident. He got into a really serious car wreck back in November or something, and had a TBI. I mean, there's got people trying to justify things, you know what I mean? But some people knew he was having not having that bad of an issue, but he was having issues from an accident.
Yeah, sometimes that happens too. Close head injuries and different things can cause problems. Of course, military people, things that people have seen. Could be a police officer that saw things. It depends on how you deal with, you know, divorce, loss of a family member. I watch a lot of medical things, naturopathic doctors, natural health cures and remedies and things, and they talk a lot about if there's a loss in your family, the stress that your body goes through and how you need to increase your vitamin D, get more sunlight. That's a whole other thing with everybody working from home. I talk to people on the phone, working on their computer, and they've been outside in maybe 3 weeks. I'm like, what? You haven't been outside in 3 weeks? Haven't had any sun? What the heck? Well, there's people in Arizona, it's 100 degrees. Too hot. They were out all winter. Especially in Michigan during the winter time, like January, it was so cold. People just don't go out for days, weeks, months. Crazy.
I don't think there have been that. There's been times where I haven't left the house for a couple weeks. But I still go out, try to go outside. Now, this house here, like yesterday, I took my lunch set outside, so that's something I've been doing at least here at this house, because I have, you know, the patio and all that. And, so I have the patio and all that stuff, which lets me go outside, or, you know, some nights I'll sit out underneath, like, open the garage up and go sit out there, you know, watch the neighborhood. I at least have gone outside once a week, twice a week, but I think 3 weeks was the longest I hadn't left the house.
Well, year round, I try to get sun on my face every morning, unless it's cloudy. A lot of the people I listen to and things that I read is how important light is. Our whole body is revolved around sunlight and darkness. Sunlight, you're awake, it turns off the melatonin, wakes you up in the morning, and it sets your circadian rhythm for how many hours until your body's going to be ready to go to sleep. So Patty and I will put a winter coat on in the morning, go out, stand on the back patio just for a couple minutes, get some sun. And then at night, we dim the TV down, turn all the lights off about 9 o'clock, because we go to bed at 10. And it starts the melatonin production, and we lay down and we're out. But my sister-in-law has a heck of a time sleeping. She can't sleep. When she does go to sleep, she can't stay asleep. But we go over to their house and stay for every light on in the house at 10, 11 o'clock at night. You go in her bathroom and hit the light switch. It's like being like an airplane landing in front of you. The lights are so bright. So we talked her into putting a night light in there. Just turn the night light on when you go in to brush your teeth and get ready to go to bed. And she's noticed some difference. But, it makes a difference in your mood, too. If we have days where there's no sun in the wintertime for a week, you're like, man, I don't have any energy this week. You know what that's like. KP8RBP. Got time for one more.
There we go. Well, you know, you got smart lights in the bathrooms and everything, all the whole house. There is a new feature I saw on the latest update. You tap the top button to turn the light on normal, the bottom button I programmed to turn on like a nightlight version. I can say from like midnight to 5 a.m., whenever the light comes on, you tap the light, turn the bathroom light on, it goes into night-night mode automatically. Instead of having to remember to hit the bottom button, you know, you can just have the main one button, tap it, depending on the time of day is the intensity. But okie dokie, have fun at work. cardboard to break down here. I gotta do that. I think my desk off. So, see ya. Adios.
Yeah, there's a guy here. I forget what state he's in, but he's a critical care doctor. Works in the emergency rooms, and during COVID, he was taking care of all the patients that were on ventilators and everything, and they did experiments with light. He has a whole video just on light. And people that were not getting any better, no matter what they did, no matter what they gave them, they did an experiment and wheeled their whole bed side. They created an area where it was where the side of the hospital, the sun was on. And took them out in the sun for 20, 30 minutes. And the other group of people, they didn't do that. And the people they took outside and had them get 20, 30 minutes of daylight and sun exposure recovered within days. And the people that were in the hospital with no natural light didn't. So it's pretty interesting. He talked about, like, nowadays, if you don't go outside, you're in a house with all the windows are coated with e-glass. So the sun doesn't come through and heat your house up in the summertime. All the lights are now LED, where the old incandescent bulbs actually gave off red light and infrared. So it was a pretty interesting experiment, and it was a good time to do it during COVID to see if it could help people recover. It does make a difference. 7-3 Fred, have a great day. Thanks for the show. KB8RBP.
Connected to CMN Network.
KB8RE.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KEAOOE. KEAOOE. KEATEK.
FACLF. Is this still looking for Mike?
It is. Howdy.
Hi, Phil. It's Diane. He's busy right now. He's getting some pipes, and so I'll let him know you called out when he should be not busy here in a little bit, okay?
Okay, thank you, Diane. I'm on the road for about 20 minutes, and then I'll be in a store for a while, but then I'll be back on the road, but appreciate it. 7-3.
No problem. KEAOOE.
KB8OE.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KB8OE.
K-B-H-O-E-K-E-H-C-E-K. We're coming back from about where the Sanford Lake flood was. We got them 30-foot glass poles. I'm over near 23 in Hill Road by Costco. Copy isn't too great. Can you hear me at all? Or not at all, but very well. Back to you. In that super gainer antenna on the truck, aren't you? I'm running that antenna on the truck. You're 100% copy. Yeah, we're getting ready to go through Midland now. I get a little further down the road. I'm stopping at the gas station here. But I get a little further down the road, I'll give you another call. Because you're sounding very echoey and the signal's kind of distorted. Back to you. Must be running that little dual-band mobile rig, huh? I'm running that Banjoey, or however you pronounce it. Again, that's a dual watch. So you've got two separate repeaters on there, and then they've got a delay. An audio delay for the Kerchunk filter. So you need to turn one of the VFOs to simplex or a little off frequency anyways. Otherwise you're going to keep hearing that echo. It's on your end. Okay, I'll have to, maybe I'll hook the other radio up here. I don't have a jumper. At any rate, okay. I'll try to figure it out, but I got to get gas now. So KB8OEKHGK clear.
I'm going to be on the road for the next hour. Just yell back a little bit. I'll tell you what, we got a mess here. It looks like a unicorn. I got the super gainer on the hood because I couldn't run it on the roof because we got pipes hanging 8 feet off the trailer and over top of the roof on the blazer where the antenna was. So... yeah, that's one of the bonuses of that radio. Do a watch. I'll talk to you a little bit. Give me an Ollie.
Dual watch or duplex? KD9QLK. KD8QK listening.
Well, thanks that you're listening.
Yeah,
your trailer's getting a wobble. It's way too much weight. It's that whoa, that fiberglass up there throwing it around.
Yeah, your night and day difference better sounding on this HD, believe it or not. But I have a great day on you now. KDOEKHEK.
I'll go with your hottest of your two signals on there and turn the other one off frequency a little bit.
Got a little bit choppy. I left the Fox gas station. Got a little break of a Fox special. Be nice to move down to $2 a gallon.
A little rough in the system that time. I don't know. Maybe you picked the wrong PFO to turn off.
I'm on the HT now. No, do you have a bad copy or what?
No, that time I did not. You sounded lots better. But that 25 watts is a lot hotter than that HT, but you sounded good that time. We're going to run long. We're coming across 10. We got like only a couple minutes until we get to the 75 interchange, and I'll tell you what, that was a pretty good deal on them fiberglass poles, I think. Nobody's going to steal on this fiberglass. They can't do nothing with them.
Yeah, what? How long has the doggone thing?
They're 30 foot long, and the ends of them are baloney. They're growing well. They're for shooting the juice and and the mud down the hole that fit the sides of it while you're drilling. It's 30 foot a piece, and they screw into each other on the end. They're all ballooning out like they're bigger down there where they accept the pipe. You spin them together and you shoot the mud down the well while you're running a rotary bit. I'm thinking about getting some extra ones and picking up a small rotary rig for when we get a property we can drill a well without having a lot of issues. You can get one of those little well drillers for a little bit of nothing compared to buy a well.
Well, that's cool. How much did you have to give a piece for them? And how many did you get?
15 of them. And they wanted 15 a piece, but they gave me 16 for two bones.
Wow, nice, man. Is that something you could use for a pole for doing an antenna?
I haven't told my counterpart here yet.
Right, but would a pole like that be suitable for a mast for an antenna?
I haven't told my counterpart yet to sit next to me.
I'll laugh out loud. All right. Ah.
I'll probably do that. I haven't brought it up yet. I haven't stood one up to tell you how stable they are, but they're a little bit wobbly, but they're gonna work for the honeybees, and then I think if we clamped one on something, we could get 30 foot up. Those are them top posts that we picked up that one day. Those are only 20, weren't they? What are those fence posts we picked up there that one time with this trailer? Were those 20 foot tall? KB8OE mobile.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KB8OE.
KB8OE. Where are you at, mister?
Just north of the Z Bridge, heading down 75. What happened? Where did you go?
I don't know. I might not have had the thing locked. I thought maybe your power popped, but I might have actually touched the screen and switched VFOs. Not sure.
That's the bummer about those, you know, you've got to lock the controls up on them so they don't throw your game off. We were laughing, I said, Bill must have gotten wrecked.
Yeah, I thought you popped the fuse because everything, like the squelch came out like there was nothing, you know what I mean? No more contact, and so I thought, well, maybe my fuse popped, so I cleared out of there. And I just now thought, well, I'll call again, and I looked like I had maybe, and I don't know how it switched, because I'm just holding the side of it and touching, keying it up, you know, but I'll have to figure out where the lock is, how to use it on this HD. Sorry about that. KB8OE, K-A-T-E-K.
No, I didn't, I'm waiting for that breaker thing to come, and then I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a fuse body, so I can tap into an ignition source to run a relay and a couple external fuses and just hook that 50-watt monoband 10 wood up in here. That old antique radio of my buddy Chuck's. He's been gone for quite a while. but it's a 50 watt rig, and then I have to direct enter program it. But listen, I got the programming cable for those little radios like you got, and that'll take the second VFO or memory, and it'll make it so it don't so it doesn't touch like two of our repeaters at once on you. You'll be able to take care of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. You've got a lot more experience. I've got very little. But the whole thing is, it's like, you know, this HT has two VFOs too, but I'm just on the 381 right now, and I'm not having the echoing problems I'm having with that Banjoey, so I don't understand how it works just because both VFOs are on, you know, if it's supposed to be on the one, I don't know why the other one influences it. You'll have to explain to me some other time.
A quick rundown. It's dual watch, just like a crossband repeater, but that rig won't crossband, but that's the beauty of those radios. That's why I like them, and I like these, because I can rapid fire different repeaters on this one. That one you have to get into one or the other VFOs, but if you're running each one on a different repeater, these repeaters have an audio delay for a ka-chunk filter of some sort. But they run an audio delay board. So if you're listening on two separate repeaters, you're getting them on two different timelines. They're like, I don't know, anywhere from maybe 100 milliseconds on up to about 500 millisecond delay. So a half a second, maybe even a full second delay. But you don't hear that normally. But if you're listening, you're hearing me on two separate machines with two different delays. So it sounds like a delay pedal for like a guitar audio speech. It sounds like a delay where you're hearing a second voicing.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. Hey, by the way, last two, three trips back to the bees, I wasn't so sure at first because I haven't seen them bringing pollen in, but yesterday and today when I went back there, I mean, if I put my ear up on the box and give a tap, I hear that resonant, that like that. So I'm pretty doggone sure I've got a swarm in there, but I've got bees again.
There's a bonus plan right there, let me tell you. You want 581 or 46? Okay. So that's a bonus plan there. So if you want to, you've got drones in the area. Have you talked to the other dude locally that has them?
No, I think he's been up north, because Cheryl saw a Facebook post where they're up north, and I haven't seen him walking up and down our street every day, which he always does, come rain or shine, you know. And first time I see him, I'll holler and talk to him about it, but see how his bees, wink, wink, are doing, but... Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've got a colony running now, and they're guarding the entrance. I closed it off to where they only have a small entrance, and they're guarding it, and they're flying out like they dropped their payload. They took off like a little fighter jet, whereas when they're full of honey and stuff, they kind of are lazy when they move up out of there, you know. So I'm pretty doggone sure, and like I said, last night and then this morning when I put my ear up on the box of camp, I could hear that. Telltale sound where there's a bunch of bees. Oops, sorry, I timed out there, and you get that buzz. So, yeah, looks like I got bees once again. Pretty awesome.
Are you going to get in them and do an inspection anytime soon?
I'm going to leave them alone for about a week, and then I'll bust them open and check everything out.
I would say right now that if they're hauling pollen, they're not doing it for nothing, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I haven't noticed the pollen yet, but they've been cleaning all the wax out of there. There's a pile of wax in front of the little opening system, and they're not mentioning it. And like I said, it sure sounds like a swarm in there to me when I tap on the box. Because there's lots of times I got bees robbing boxes, and you almost think maybe they're in there. You tap on it, you put your ear up, so it just sounds hollow, empty, like there's nothing in there. But when I tap on it now, I get that loud telltale buzz. So, anyway, I'm back into the drive. Cheryl's here. I got to unload this stuff, so I'm going to let you go, but I'll catch back up with you later. 73-KBOLE-KHEK, clear.
One surefire way to tell is wait until after dark, about 15 minutes after the sun goes down, do the same test, and if they're still in there, you ain't being robbed. KB-800-E, gone that way.
Connected to CMN Network.
KB-800-E, mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KB-800-E.
JFA EDI, what's going on?
Is that you, Eric?
Yep, that's me.
Sorry, I'm up to Carroll right now. We're heading into town, getting some dog food. And I'm gonna check on the plates for the T-post. I just scored some T-posts yesterday. And I bought 16 of those 30-foot fiberglass pipes for on top of them.
I'm on I-69, coming from Fort Huron. I just passed KPAC.
Well, you're making it into the system real well, that's for sure. I'm just about to cross the cache here, just out of town. By the junkyard, but we got a couple stops to make. We drove off to Midland today to get those. I really wanted to get more because I'm thinking 30 foot tall, they'd stand up real nice and make a really nice antenna mast. You know, 30 foot up is enough to get you a pretty good signal.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good idea. But it's a ways up. It's the size of the house.
I just bolted up to the gable end on my place. As long as it can't reach the 220 lines, I'm all good with it. You know, that's the main thing. If the tornado comes through and tips it over, I don't want it touching. There's no high voltage top line where I'm at. All that's across the street, the next block over, so that works. We need to get in an antenna building mode and get some gain antennas built up, at least for VHF home antennas. Both of us already got the mobile antennas covered. It's good enough to get us by for a while, right?
I'm definitely happy with the antenna I got here. I haven't tried the long one yet, but, you know, with the results I got from the short one, I'm sure the long one will be badass. But, I definitely want to get something set up for at home.
Yeah, and then later on down the road, I'll give you a demonstration. I'll cross-band repeat works. And then, you know, you can tool around and listen very effectively on whatever band you're listening to and cross-band repeat, and that'll make your signal around town there way, way stronger when you're at your house, especially if you've got more power on the cross-band, more gain, you know, either way, and or gain and power, feed me antennas, yeah. So, I don't think I ever showed you anything like that with any of the stuff I had, because I haven't had a decent crossband radio in a long time. Right now, The only crossband I have right now is HT, but I think I got a crossband amplifier sitting around, which will help things out immensely.
I'd like to get I keep checking on Marketplace, see if I can find a decent home base radio.
These Jeep rigs I got do a pretty good job, but they're not a crossband repeater. Look at that little smart car over there. But look, 25 watts, when you start putting it into a gain antenna, like something like you're using on your truck, you can really, especially if you get it up there 30, 40 feet in the air, you can really get out much, much better. And it's easy to build gain on a home base antenna as opposed to the, you know, all the components in these mobile antennas are pretty much specialized. You can build a bulkier antenna for the roof of your house and not have as many issues because you're not going down the road. And then also you can build beam antennas. That one that I hooked Phil up with is a really easy design to build at home with easily sourced materials. Beam antennas are really where it's at when you want to move a signal a long ways.
The beam antenna, would you want the ability to be able to change the direction of it?
Yeah, preferably, but here's the deal, KB8OLE, here's the deal on those is they're small. Physically, they're relatively small, so what you can do is you can get an old TV rotor, and that'll do the job. And the wind load isn't much worse. Now, when you start getting stacked 13 B2s and stacked 17s and doing horizontal polarization with single sideband and digital modes, now it's a little bit different animal. But, yeah, you really want to. But you can go out and strong arm the antenna and twist the mass pipe and get them pointed where you want to get them. Like that 13 element beam I had up, touching into Bad Axe and Sandusky from Columbiaville there to check into those nets way out in the middle of the thumb. Now you could do that, but you're better off to search for the hardware, the old rotor boxes like the TVs used to have when we were kids, and just the TV antenna rotor itself. I got a 55-gallon drum of them somewhere, I think inside that camper.
Okay, I just saw pulled out of 53 coming up through Emily City. Now I'm getting a lot of picket fencing coming from you.
I'm stationary, so. Oh man, Jack just blew his toe out. Looks like he. Oh, I don't know. Looks like he dropped something on it. Man, that ain't good. That's not good at all. I just stopped over there last night. And he had, like, signpost-looking things, not real true T-posts, but my buddy Dan hooked me up with a dozen or so of the real T-posts. I'll send you a picture of what I did today, dude. You're going to laugh. Them, I'll tell you, you get 16 of those 30-foot-long fiberglass pipes, buddy. They get heavy when you put them on the ladder rack on a trailer.
Too.
Like old Jack Wacko looked like he about cut his toe off. That ain't cool. I'm gonna run into TSC here. She's gonna load that. She's gonna throw that 50-pound bag of dog food over her shoulder. I don't want her to do that. But I'll be back in the car in a minute. And maybe your signal will get a little clearer on your end. As you get a little closer to the repair machine. I'll talk to you in a second. I'm going to send you those pictures of what I hauled in today. KB8OOE.
10-4. I'll talk to you after a bit. KF8GVI.
KB8OOE Mobile.
connected to CMN Network.
AFA, UBI, Bill here.
Calling a little bit better. She's going to jump out running to Walmart, and I think I'm going to hang in the car and rap with you for a few minutes. Kind of hoping Phil comes back, but I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, we got a lot of road time behind us today. The dogs have definitely been loving the road scene here.
Yeah, I'm now heading west on Newark Road towards the pier, so I should be getting a better signal.
I'm like right around the corner from the repeater up here. It's if I would have went up over the hill, you know, it'd be a lot better, but it's great. The signal is great up here on this thing.
I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Jumping out right now. The dog's getting mad. People are walking around there and they're not his people.
The message I sent you, my existing hive is no more, it's gone. I was in there a couple days ago and there was only like probably not even 10 bees in there. The queen, I didn't see no queen. I think I seen her in the bottom of the box, but they didn't make it.
This is your weak one?
Yep. The one that I had left over from last year. I would have been surprised if it did make it. I knew right from the beginning, throwing a queen in there was probably a roll of the dice, and it didn't pan out.
The one thing I was telling you about, the problem is we had a lot of really low overnight temperatures. You put two pieces of screen on top of one of the boxes and put that box over top of the next box, and then the heat comes up, so they don't have to make a bunch more. But the problem is, if you don't have feed right next to them, it really don't matter. And if you don't have enough, but if they don't have to make heat, they live longer when it's warmer out anyways.
I did out of that tax is all good, so.
Hold on a second. Wait till you, I don't know if you're down in a valley or what, but you say the package ones that you split up are all doing all right?
Primitive, yes. The package splits are all doing well.
You getting a break here in less than a week where it's going to warm up, and that'll allow them to get out and get the things they need to start producing brood and getting serious with building things out. That'll be your saving grace right there.
Yeah, I definitely want to get them into a 4-over-4s here as soon as I can, just waiting for some decent weather.
I don't know where it cut me off, but I got to keep it on accessory to run this. Getting those numbers built up, though, you get them in those palmers, that'll get you the brood.
Yep. I can't wait. I'm ready to see them things get big.
If you put any in the 10 frames, pulling the brood frames out of the palmers will help to build the numbers on the 10 frames to really pack it on. You don't really want to go more than about 60% full in the bottom, and you can keep things running, but you got to check every 2 weeks in the 10. You keep them in a 10, and then just start stacking up supers. So if you're working field bees, if you're looking to make the honey, then that's kind of the way you do that. Jim never run more than one brood, one chamber deep.
So it made that wax, you know, without cocoons in it, no brood in the supers, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't have any brood in my supers. I put excluder on there to make sure there was no brood in there. I like to use those, I like to keep the brood out of the honey supers, just so that it stays clean, the comb stays clean.
Not to mention, though, I mean, you'll get occasional wing parts in some of that honey. You just got to keep an eye on it, run it through the screen. But you really don't have to go to more than one pen frame. And now you can look into Demarais or whatever they call them. Look into doing that because that'll keep you from worrying about swarm cells, and that's the main thing, because that will set you back.
Hopefully I plan on doing, just keeping on splitting, to keep ahead of the swarm instinct. Hopefully I can, you know, get a few more colonies going, and just by splitting them, that worked out real well last year. I didn't have a swarm last year. I just kept splitting them and shit, so I never had a swarm, never had to deal with it last year.
Yeah, you know, when you were telling me you're catching all those swarms in them traps around your yard, I was like, oh, God, he's turning into king of swarms. You know, don't count if you're catching your own swarms. You're better off to do the split. It's a lot more productive if you can. You know, that's the thing. If you can, you don't want to have to try to catch them in the trees.
I know doubt about that. I lost two of them because of the trees. The one of them, the first one I caught, got it in a box. 2 hours later, was gone. But I put it in a box right next to the dang hide that it swarmed from. I think that might have had something to do with it. But the other one was just way up high in a tree, and then couldn't get to it.
I've got a few tricks for getting those. They don't always work, though. I don't like them when they get up there. You get up there more than about 20 feet up, and you ain't getting them back down. You better just watch where they go.
I did get one last year that was over 30 feet up. I took my 24-foot extension ladder, extended it all the way up, leaned it up in the tree, and then I took a 5-gallon bucket and screwed it to the side of 16 foot of one by, and then climbed up the ladder, took that bucket and got it up in the swarm inside the bucket and give it a shake. It did that, I don't know, 3 or 4 times up the ladder, and shook them into the box, and then about the third or fourth time they all started flying right into the box. So I knew I had the queen at that point.
What a nightmare. It's like a whole pile of money flying away.
Well, it was a sad affair, for sure. Not being able to get to that one, I was bummed out. I was really bummed out about the one I caught, put it in the... That was an easy one. It was only 6 feet off the ground. I cut the branch off, shook the branch into the box, and then come back up hours later, the damn thing was gone.
I've had that happen. I'll tell you, the best one I've seen on video, and you're not going to do it in town, maybe it all eat, but the best one I've seen on video is a guy took a real long 410 or 12 gauge, I think it was long, like a goose barrel, maybe a 20 or a 16 even. Got everything set up, shot the branch off.
FAGBI, now that would be funny. I'd love to see that.
Randy, Dirt Rooster, he's on my Facebook page. I watched him. He was there with a, I think they had a flatbed or just a long box, and they had all kinds of hives set up in there. And they had tarps over each of the sides so they could kind of fold them all back in as they were going in.
they must have had 20-pound swarm up in a tree, and I don't know if they shot it or if they had it, something yanked it real hard, but that whole big ball of bees covered them boxes, them bee boxes in the back of that truck. They must have had 12 of them back there or more. Maybe more, maybe 14 or 16, but it covered them things about a foot deep in bees. It was the biggest swarm I had ever seen in my life. And God only knows how many queens they had in that mess. But they were all laughing about it. And they got chewed up pretty bad by the time they got them loaded up.
Crazy. Imagine the size of the colony that those things swarmed from.
And the whole side of an old farmhouse, a barn or something, it'd have filled a wall cavity somewhere, probably a balloon frame. But when I pulled some Templeton kids, the old Baylock house, the sewer sucker guys from out there by the Sorzewski fire, both times I had two halves of a 55-gallon bucket packed full of wax and honey. And I put the brood in there and got them to go in, but two 10-frame beeps wasn't enough to hold all them bees. That was my swarm that I caught. They flew out over the hill. It was all by the back door lounge, the bar out there, but they flew over the hill. I've seen them up the tree. That swarm was about three times bigger on as a basketball, and come from that one that you got me on video doing the starters in. Already been bees in two walls of that place. I cut them out twice, and that wall was no exception. They had rebuilt in that wall facing the north, and like I said, I got a couple 55-gallon plastic drums packed it full. I got chewed up horrible, but I went out there with some safety glasses and a hat. That was it. I got chewed up pretty good by the time it was done. I bet you I got stung 40 times.
That's crazy. So you cut that hive out, and did you miss some bees and they just regrew in there, or did a whole new colony find its way in there?
No, they died. And they left all that in. I don't know when they got out of there, but mine went out there and immediately built on probably half again more, but it was balloon framing. So it was from the first store all the way up to the top of the second story, and it was up in the floors because the balloon framing, the floors are open to the walls, you know, and they're just, them old houses are just a big old fire pit waiting to happen. But I cut the floor out, I cut the wall from the outside out, and I cut a little bit on the inside, and then once I found that queen, put her in a box and made sure they had nowhere else, no other brood, then they filled up those. Well, first I put two 5-frames, two nukes, the one pink trap that I built a long time ago, and then another 5-frame box on top of that full of them, and then yeah, I ended up having to take two 10-framers out there, and they were just spilling out of there, and I screwed them all together with 2x4s like handles on a rickshaw so I could carry them out of there. It was a nightmare. It was just a giant mess of bees. There must have been 120,000 bees in that box. You've seen it when it was still in one. I packed them up and let them build on two, and then had supers above an excluder. That's the year I got like 85 gallons of honey.
And that's a lot of honey.
I should y'all exceed that this year. I got to get down there. Well, we got to tear this deck out and get this back room ready to fix the fill plate and the joist tie on the outer plate. I got a ton of work to do up here. And then we're gonna rat hole that place, and we're gonna sell hers first, and then we're gonna make our way down there. But I just got $100 worth of consumables for the plasma cutter to cut up that mess that I got out there, and then I'll be hauling that in. But we got
I don't, did I send you them pictures yet? I think I might have already sent them.
Send pictures of what?
Send it right now. This is the mess we got today. I got probably a dozen T-posts yesterday and then drove to Midland today. I'm going to ship you a picture of what I got. KB8OD.
Okay. KB8GBI.
It should go. I don't have hardly any signal up here. It's just some cellulars got their footprint all over Carroll. One picture showed up. I had to put my antenna. You'll see where I had to put my antenna because I didn't want those fiberglass pipes ripping the antenna off the roof of the Blazer. I had the carrying rack so those pipes would bounce on there when I was going down the highway and swing back and forth, skid on there. I got everything. You'll see, dude. It was a little weird coming home. The old trailer was doing the wob, man. It must have 500 pounds, you know, there's 16 of them. I don't know what they weigh. They got to weigh 500, probably 3 1/4 with all of them, and I got them ratchet strapped together and ratchet strapped to the ladder racks. There's no weight there. It was a proverbial snow machine on the roof of the Chevette trip.
Hanford and Son style.
You could hear the harmonica and you could hear that music just kicking in, yeah. I felt like Lamont. Anyway, so it went all the way up past about halfway to the middle of the sunroof, and the only way it wasn't smashing the sunroof out was because of the carrying rack on the roof of the Blazer, and then all the way back, you could tell, it must be about 8-10 feet off the back of the ladder racks of the trailer. So, but there's no weight in the trailer, so it was doing the wob, man. It was, that thing was back there dancing at about 80. I had to slow down and drive like a human.
I can just imagine.
I think it's the pitcher made it through, both pitchers.
Got something on there. I haven't, I'm driving down the road, so I don't want to stare at my phone, but... Yeah, I got something coming through there.
Today your birthday?
Tomorrow. Birthday's tomorrow.
You gotta be over halfway to 100.
I'm over halfway by 3 years.
Barking at my heels, Junior.
Yeah, hopefully I don't catch up to you.
Yeah, well, you could have real easy. 2 Januaries ago, you could have catch up past me because I'd have been done if I wouldn't have had her. Kind of saved my life.
A good woman will do that for you.
Yeah, a bad one would just... laugh while you're laying there clutching your chest bone.
Wait for you to turn cold before they call 911.
Wait till the rigor mortis, the Arthur Loftus kicks in. Anyways, those fiberglass poles are 30 feet long. He ended up cutting me a little bit of a deal on him. I told him, I said, this is for bees, dude. I'm not going to spend that much money. Then I made him an offer on 16 of them, and he went for it. So about 9:30 in the morning, we're rolling out of her crib and headed towards Midland. We drove, we got about 3 hours on the road today so far. Now I'm in Carroll. We got big giant bag of dog food. She wanted to try some different dog food. I told her, watch out, it's got a lot more protein now. We have to let them out a little more until they get used to it, you know.
Well, got to watch them with that old, them old dogs.
She has a hard time. I said something about taking her for a hamburger ride. She said something about the horse glue factory or something. Thought I was. I said, nah, I said, no, it's just some hamburger rides, just the other terminology. I ain't gonna, you know, I don't know, man. I don't look forward to it, but, you know, she's getting up there. She go to one different room and look around like, you know, she's lost.
Yeah, I've noticed a couple of times that she has that, what the hell's going on, look in her eyes.
Oh, yeah, you know, I always come in the room and go, who are you guys? 90 degree brackets for the T-posts at TSC are $8 for two of them. And I need enough for 12 poles, two per post. So 12 times 8, and you're looking at another $100. Man, I'll tell you what. I should be paying my land taxes for that money.
Well, I say, if you want to be a millionaire beekeeper, you got to start with a billion.
Yeah, you can backslide real quick, especially when the mites get a hold of them. Jesus, beets. And you lose 80, 90% of your bees over the wintertime. Kind of leaves a crap feeling. Crap feeling in your chest and a crap taste in your mouth.
I've started over quite a few times in life, so I just take it as it comes.
Yeah, I had a buddy lived out by Sixth Market, and he had like 8 colonies, and he woke up one morning, didn't see any bees flying around. He went down there, they're out by the road, right out by Elba Road. Somebody had walked up there with 2 cans of Hot Shot, or 2 or 4 cans of Hot Shot, and just filled his beehive right full of poison. And, you know, just blew that hornet spray up in there. He said, man, I about puked on the way back to the house.
Dude, that would infuriate me. I would, that, well, first of all, I'd call the cops if I could find out who did it, just because that's, you know, that they could probably get it. Man, I don't even know. I can't even describe how I'd feel. That would make me so goddamn mad.
Well, run your kid over and then back over him 2 or 3 times at that point. But, you know, $500 a box, you got a row of them sitting there. I don't know if I'd call the police. I think I'd burn their car.
Yeah, if I knew who did it, it would definitely come to nighttime stuff for sure. There's no way I would be able to let that slide.
Now when they have $8-$10 in the destroying a couple $1,000 worth of equipment. It's like them kids up here. They went through a guy's bee yard up here and flipped over like 35 colonies in the middle of winter, just flipped them over.
Hopefully some of them bees got them.
Yeah, you'd hope for the best, you know. Maybe they got chewed up on the way out of there. Did you know they didn't wear any protective equipment to do that? KB8OE. I think that I'm going to fog my overwinter Palmers here pretty soon. And then start moving and inspecting for bugs, for mites in the little guys. So I got my 3, 4, 6 total right now, but we're gonna do another manipulation, kind of like what you did with the two framers, but we're gonna go a lot thinner.
Okay, I get ready to pull into the house. I'll catch up with you later on. KF8 GBI.
I got my buddy looking for a window line, like ladder line of the 450 ohm stuff. The kind you use with a ladder lock. I'm going to have him looking. He might even be listening. I'm going to have him looking down at Dayton, see if he can get a spool of it cheap enough. And that way, we'll be able to make some wire antennas for this band with some gain, some collinear setups, and then cheap way to feed HF antennas and not have any loss. Coax has loss even at high frequency, but I'll let you know more about what's going on. I'm just going to try to find a deal on that crap because getting it shipped, he's going to be down at the Dayton Ham Bench in this next week, so I'll wrap with you later. 7-3, this is KV8 Ollie.
KV8OOE. KV8OOE. KV8DK.
Tell you what, Phil, I'm burning up the repeaters, the link system. I guess the dog just fell. Oh, she saved herself, I guess, but I just got off the radio with Eric. He just got home and kind of talking him into the landing strip there at his place. One of his cleans that he put in, the ones that overwintered, did make it. None of the bees made it. But the split, doing in the two-frame, like Dave Barnier bee boxes, all of those are going strong, I guess. You weren't making it in. What repeater are you trying to work? Where are you at? Because you're just not making it.
Give me a little bit of pull over and surround the CA clip.
I know I'm making it in. This thing's a monster where I'm at. Got a great big giant footprint, and this is one of the hot spots.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
This is Kilo Delta 8, Charlie Whiskey Alpha, looking for a radio check.
Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Yankee Papa, come back again and I'll tell you what I can hear.
Okay, well, this is Kilo Delta 8, Charlie Whiskey Alpha. I was just double-checking, making sure that this radio is working. It's been a while since I've actually had this hooked up, and I was just curious if it still works.
You are 5'9 plus 10 by St. John's. I don't know where you're at.
I am in Midland, Michigan, well, an outskirt part of Midland there, QSL.
Copy that, copy that. Yeah, you're coming in here loud. And when you first came in there, I was just scanning the frequencies, and I had to turn you down a little bit.
Okay, all right. All right, well, thank you much here for helping me out with that. Like I said, I just hooked this thing back up to see if it would actually work. And, you know, it's about a 30-year-old radio, and just wanted to re-double-check and see if this little girl still works.
Yep, you're working good. I'm about 7 miles northwest of St. John's, and you're coming in loud and clear, and your radio is working, and your antenna is working as well, so you're doing pretty good for a 30-year-old radio.
Oh, thank you much, sir. Thank you much. Yeah, it's an old Yaesu 2800M, just a single-banded, just 2-meter FM. Does about 50 watts out, and I have a 10-element beam. That's always been up. The antenna's been sitting here, but I kind of revamping my desk here and decided, I said, well, I'm going to hook it up and see if it works, so. But thank you much, sir, for the comeback there. I didn't get a chance to write down your call, but this is Kilo Delta 8, Charlie Whiskey Alpha. Name here is Kurt, Kilo Uniform Romeo Tango. And I'll let you go, and thank you much for the comeback. 7-3.
All right, Kurt, KD8CWA. It's funny you say that's a Yaesu 2800. I'm sitting here programming a Yaesu 2800 with my normal frequencies that I just got back out, and I'm going to start running that as well.
QSL, QSL, yeah. Yeah, I bought this radio back, it was early 2000s. This thing, you're a 30-year-old radio anyways, you know, 26 years old anyways.
Well, that's good. It gives me an idea of what my radio is going to sound like when I get all my frequencies programmed in. It sounds pretty good, and I'm glad you got on here today so I know what my radio may sound like. So, all right, Kurt, this is KD8WIP to KD8CWA. Thanks a lot. Have fun, and be safe.
Have a great evening, and thank you much once again. This is Kilo Delta 8, Charlie Whiskey Alpha, clearing frequency 7-3.
Kilo Delta 8, Charlie Whiskey Alpha, yes sir, over. KFA, GFL, listening. Kilo Delta 8, Charlie Whiskey Alpha. This is Kilo Echo 8, Zulu Oscar Bravo. Got a copy, over.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFA. UBA, listening.
You're connected to CMN Network. currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.